ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing on the theme, the truth. What is the truth? There is absolute truth, there is relative truth. Truth is a victim or Kali, in Kali Yoga, truthfulness is among the qualities that decreases day by day, even though in the Bhagavatam it said that truthfulness is the one quality which remains out of four. You may think, how is that? The four pillars of dharma, the four legs of dharma, are truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy. And it said that truthfulness is the one that remains, but it doesn't seem to be much remaining. So how do we understand that? My understanding is that at least people have some idea that truthfulness is good. People have no idea of mercy to animals, and increasingly not to humans either. Their whole conception of mercy, well, there's not much idea of mercy. Compassion, there's a lot of talk about compassion among New Age types. But in general, the whole society, animal killing is a major factor in modern society all over the world, with few exceptions. This morning I spoke to Hari Vilas Prabhu. One thing we were talking about, Jains, and how they're really into cow protection and vegetarianism, more than Hindus in general. And he suggested that's why they're rich. They're getting some good karmic response. So if you want to be rich, well, you're already vegetarian, you believe in cow protection. As a community, they are well-to-do and pious in as much as they promote cow protection and are vegetarians. Of course, their philosophy is horrible, but at least behaviorally, they are living piously. So mercy, there's very little idea of mercy in the world at all. If we say to people that, well, killing animals is something horrible, and many people, they think, well, you can't relate to it, what's wrong? They just take it as normal. Cleanliness, there's no idea of cleanliness in the Western countries. Cleanliness in terms of bathing daily, at least once a day. That one should bathe after evacuating. No such idea. After evacuating, they smear the stuff around on their backside with toilet paper. Very strange idea. That's one of the things that Srila Prabhupada, that's probably the epitome of lack of cleanliness. By the Vedic conception, there's no concept of cleanliness. Actually, in the Middle East also, they wash with water. You can understand that if you go in a bathroom in Arabic countries. they don't have this toilet paper idea. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity. There's no idea of austerity. Well, there is. Politicians in Greece, for instance, and Britain, they're making austerity measures. what they call austerity, but it's forced that people should voluntarily accept austerity for the sake of purification. Tapo devyam putrika yena sattvam shudyadyasmat brahma sokyam tvananta. That one should accept divine austerities for the sake of purification so that one can attain spiritual happiness. There's no such idea. The whole idea is enjoy yourself as much as possible. So there's some idea of truthfulness. There's some idea that to lie is bad. So I understand it in this way. Although the another truth, we're going to talk, the subject is truth. One thing that is true is that there are two of the most respected and lucrative professions are practically based on lying. One is to be a lawyer, and the other is to be a politician. And I say respected, you may think, well, politicians aren't respected much. The sign of a successful politician is that people can recognize your face well enough that they make a caricature of it in a cartoon. So that means you're a successful politician. But they are respected because they're powerful. They may not like them, but people respect them. And I don't understand how they're having all this hullabaloo over will it be Trump or will it be Hillary, and they're talking about different issues and their stance, because anyway, you know that whatever they say, that doesn't give any indication of what they're going to do after they get elected. And it's true everywhere. There's in India so much hope. Modi will come, and every Indian will get, how much is it, 15 lakhs when he brings back all the black money? How much did he say? 15 lakhs? 7 lakhs? How much did he bring? Ek naya paisa nahi. Nothing, zero. Just blatant lying. Nothing. So, but that's just normal for politicians. And people don't even seem to mind very much nowadays. When Bill Clinton, who's somehow got a reputation of being a nice guy, he lied. It came to, I never had sex with, what was her name? Monica Lewinsky, was that her name? Never. And then it came to the fact that he did have. And then people didn't seem to mind. The fact that he had grossly misused his position, he'd act in a totally immoral way, he'd lied to the whole American public, people didn't seem to mind. So, politicians, now what are we talking? We're supposed to be talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, right? What's Bill Clinton got to do with the Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, it's stated, all this is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as the symptoms of Kali Yuga. One of them is mentioned. What is it? Prajaste bhakshishanti mlecha rajanya rupina. That people who are mlechas, who have no good qualities, they will take the position of kings. The position of kings is that they're supposed to protect the citizens. But these so-called leaders, they will simply devour and exploit the citizens. So that's predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam, which distinguishes reality from illusion for the benefit of all. Now you may say, why does the Srimad, there's a whole chapter in Bhagavatam about the symptoms of Kali Yuga, and elsewhere in the Bhagavatam also discusses that. Why so much about that? It is to, among other things, it is to highlight the great quality of Kali Yuga, by which Kali Yuga is very much appreciated by intelligent persons. Why on earth, or in heaven for that matter, should... Why should Kali Yuga be appreciated? When there's everything, it's Kale Doshanidhe Raja, and then you've got the clue. It's an ocean of faults, everything. But there's one good quality, one good quality. Kale Doshanidhe Raja, Nasti Hieko Mahan Guna, Kirtanadeva Krishna Syam Mukta Sangha Parang Prajit. An ocean of faults, everything is bad. Just like a fish in the ocean, if he goes, swims up, there's water. If he swims down, there's water. If he swims left, there's water. If he swims right, there's water. If he swims ahead, there's water. If he can somehow swim backwards, there's also water. Everywhere there's water. So in the same way in Kali Yuga, whatever you, whichever area you look in, whatever field of human activities we examine, is simply full of faults. But there's one good quality. That by chanting the names of Krishna, one can be freed from all of this, and one can go to the Supreme. Therefore, Kaling Sabhajyantyarya Gunagya Sarabhagina Yatra Sankirtana Neva Sarva Swartho Bhilabhyate. Therefore, people who are very discerning, discriminating, they... understanding the quality of Kali Yuga, they worship Kali Yuga. They think it's very good. Because by Sankirtan, simply by Sankirtan, all one's interests can be served. Srimad Bhagavatam highlights how people will be so much oppressed in Kali Yuga by politicians. I mentioned before how one truth of life in this material world, it's true not only in the modern age, but actually in all ages in this material world. Those who think that they are our well-wishers, they cheat us. Even if you're born in a pious Hindu family, unless we're distinctly taught that the goal of life is Krishna consciousness, then even we may be living very piously, but we're cheated by our family members who think they're doing good to us by arranging for upanayanam for the boys at the required age according to their caste. That's also another form of cheating. It's another form of misleading. If we don't know, if we're not informed that the goal of life is Krishna. So even to be a pious Hindu is a kind of cheating. It's therefore the Bhagavatam says at the very beginning, Dharma Kaitava Projita Atra. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all kind of cheating religion is rejected. And that includes being a pious Brahmin without Krishna consciousness. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. This is for the Paramahamsas. Now we may think that, well, this is a very rough thing, this is a very harsh thing to say, but this is sectarian to say that only this is right. But actually, this Srimad Bhagavatam can be appreciated by the Paramahamsas, those who are pure in heart, those who are non-envious. Those who are non-envious can appreciate the non-sectarian message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which points out that everyone in this world is envious of Krishna and envious of everyone else. So to discuss these things, it may seem very harsh, but actually if it's conducted in the spirit that Vyasadeva conducted it, that Shukadev conducted it, that Srila Prabhupada conducted it, then discussions of Srimad Bhagavatam, including all the sections, which for instance say that politicians in Kali Yuga are simply devouring the citizens, cheating them, then It's not a symptom of hatred for others, but it's pointing out the reality for the welfare of all. If we can understand this, then we won't want to partake in a society that is a society of cheaters and the cheated. Now, parents, educators, and so on, they may not even be aware that they're cheating us. They're not even, they're not consciously doing it. But they just think, I want the best for my children, so I'm giving them plenty of meat to eat. They may think like that, at least in my generation in the West. And in India at the present time, it's also being promoted. You have to eat lots of protein, and then you become big and strong. So that's, do the best for your children. Give them lots of protein, lots of meat to eat. So they may not be consciously misleading, but there are others who are consciously misleading. They are consciously misleading others. Politicians, those who promote the tobacco sales, they know it's bad for people, but their bottom line is profit. And all the big corporations, their interest is not protecting the environment, benefiting the citizens or the customers. Their bottom line is profit. As I was on a Delta flight coming from Amsterdam to Detroit, or Detroit to Seattle, I can't, one of the flights. They put a little video on, and the CEO of Delta comes on, and the first thing he says is, "Here at Delta, our first interest is you, the customer." And you know, it's, you know, he's lying. They don't give a damn about the customer, only they want the customer's money, and therefore they pretend that they like you. That's all. But if you're not able to give them money, then they have no interest in you whatsoever. They're only interested in you because you are a customer. And then they try to serve you nicely, or put on a semblance of serving you nicely, because they're in competition with others who are also pretending that their first interest is the customer. But they want their money, that's all. And that's the reality of the situation. So the politicians are deliberately misleading us. And we find that they can say one thing one day and another thing another day, and they don't have any shame in doing so. In fact, there's one famous so-called spiritual leader of India who's maybe the biggest at the present time. He's up above all the others. And he doesn't... What's his philosophy? He didn't really have any philosophy. He just makes it up as he goes along. He says one thing, and then another time he can say something else. And the main thing is just to smile and talk in his effeminate voice and have his long beard and be nice. That's all. He says, I read something, some interview with him. He said, "My aim is to put a smile on everyone's face, rascal." He's a rascal. Why is he a rascal? Because he wants to put a smile on your face without giving you the knowledge by which you can become happy eternally, just to make you feel good. But that feeling good is an enemy. That feeling good without surrendering to Krishna, that is an enemy of our real self-interest. The whole idea to make people feel good, feel nice, hug them, "Oh, so nice. Hug. Oh." But there's nothing to save them from birth and death. It just makes you feel good. But then you go out and then you die and then you go to hell, or you may go to heaven. Not very likely in Kali Yuga that many people are going to heaven. Maybe our devotees who don't want to go to Krishna, they chant Hare Krishna and they go to heaven. It's all cheating. Srimad Bhagavatam begins Satyam Param, delineating the highest truth. And everything except the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is simply cheating. And so we say politicians, but the king or the leader is supposed to care for the citizens. And not only that they have food, clothing, shelter, educate. In the modern age, it's one of the businesses of politicians to arrange for education. In Vedic society, politicians don't arrange education. They arrange the society in such a way that the brahmanas, they teach formal education. And others, like shudras, for instance, if one is to be a potter, he's trained by his father as a potter. That's all. There's no need of big schools, educational institutions that people can go to for years and years and years. And still most of the population, they end up doing some job which doesn't require years and years of education. So in the modern age, there's the idea that politicians, they have to arrange for education also. But that's in the Vedic concept. That's not the job of a king. He has to see everyone's doing their duty in the Varna system. But the politician, a major job he has to do is to see that people are living piously and not sinfully. Pot means the king. It's the job of a kshatriya. Because he should be concerned with not only their welfare in this life, but in future life also. And he should care, because all sinful acts of the citizens, he gets 1/6 of the reaction. It might seem to be a good job being a politician, but who wants to be president of the United States when even an ordinary person in a single day jots up enough or clocks up enough sinful reactions to get him in hell for a long, long time? And there are, 330 million, something like that, citizens of America, plus all the illegal immigrants. And all of that, I don't know whether Yamaraj includes the illegal immigrants in his... Well, that's not his... That's Chandragupta's job. Maybe they have to have a conference. What's going on here? Do we include the illegal immigrants or not? Who does their... So 1/6. 1/6. Ooh, that's a lot. What a terrible job. Worst possible. Little glory for a short time. Very, very heavy. We should make people aware of this. And on these gurus, I'm talking about these false gurus also, they have to accept the karmic reactions from persons who they take leadership of. Guru nasasyat, swajana nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivang natasyat, napatischa sasyan namochiyadya samupita mrityum. One should not take the role of a guru, father, mother, relative, husband, or any kind of leadership role of others unless one can deliver one's dependence from birth and death. And one should take that responsibility. People don't know. People don't know these things. It's all in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada has... given elaborate explanations of all these things. So don't be cheated by the politicians. I know in America, certain leaders, they encourage their disciples to vote this way or that way. you should vote Republican. No, you should vote Democratic. But Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that we should not vote for anyone who is not going to stop cow slaughter. So, who should you vote for? No one, no. And that's true in India also. Well, the BJP in some states have stopped cow slaughter, although there's something going on at the moment, because the governments, the state governments or the police don't actually stop cow slaughter. There are slaughterhouses, all illegal slaughterhouses all over the country, which politicians know about. They're very happy. They get kickbacks from them. So there are vigilantes who want to stop cow slaughter by killing the cow slaughterers in various means. So Prime Minister Modi just warned them, don't do that, because it's a huge business. India exports beef to the Gulf countries and gets exchange and buys oil. And unregistered business, huge number of cattle, they go to Pakistan and Bangladesh. We should be concerned. The Krishna Conscious Movement is meant for reforming the world. And we have japa retreats. We should have sankirtan attacks. Go out. Give the books. Let people read these books. I remember one year in England, I think it must have been, what was it? I can't remember. It was either 75 or 76. We had this Back to Godhead magazine, and it had a really heavy article about abortion in it. And I used to go in the subway, it's called the Tube in London, the underground train system, and give out these Back to Godhead magazines. And then I'd come out, and after doing one carriage, I'd come out at the next station, because I had to go to the next carriage. And I'd see people looking at this magazine, and there's this heavy article on abortion. Good, let them read it. Let them know, at least let them be warned that this is very sinful. Quite often when I say abortion is very sinful in a class, I hear some sound from the lady's side. It's going on. In ISKCON also, I know. Yeah. It's going on. And contraception, that's somehow people think contraception's okay. Abortion's bad, but contraception's okay. It's also very sinful. Didn't know that? Well, now you know. Just I gave initiation to some devotees in Russia. One young couple came to me. They were about to be initiated the next day. And they said, they'd been associating with devotees for 8 years, and no one ever, they are under the impression that no illicit sex means you do it within the family only, but no one ever told them not to use contraception. And then they found out just before initiation, they were just before they're supposed to be initiated, no one told them. They don't like to tell them. That means we're also among the cheaters if we don't tell. He means, why should a sannyasi be talking about this? Well, no one else is talking about it. You should know. This is the truth. Which if we don't know, we're going to be involved in sinful activities. We say, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Well, if we think I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I can do sinful activities, then we become a great offender to the holy name. So you can't escape it. Don't be cheated. Practically, the Krishna Consciousness Movement stands against everything that people not in the Krishna Consciousness Movement stands for. We're against whatever they think is good, we say is bad. We should not compromise. It's a struggle, no doubt. It's a fight. Srila Prabhupada said, preaching means fighting. The fact is that we are in this world today, we are very much influenced by people who do not want, they're not interested in our best interest. They want to condition us to think in a way that will be conducive for what they consider to be their self-interest. They're not interested in our self-interest. There's massive advertising for tobacco, for Coca-Cola, which does you no good whatsoever, even physically. Of course, spiritually, there's absolutely no question. Why? What is the benefit? Why should the government allow? There's no benefit to anyone, but someone makes some money. And the population, they don't get any gain from it. Planned obsolescence for all kinds of machines. Why? It's just absolute cheating. Many years ago, it was quite possible to build a motor car that probably as far back as the 1920s, it was quite possible to build a motor car. You buy one and you keep it all your life and you give it to your kids. But that's not good for business. So, planned obsolescence. You know what that means, planned obsolescence? It means that the machine is built in such a way that it starts to break down after a year. They give you a guarantee for a year, and then after a year you find everything starts breaking because it's built like that. You just think it's normal that car parts break, but they don't have to. Long time ago, someone discovered, he invented a light bulb which doesn't burn out. Philips gave him $1 million, which was a lot of money at the time, bought the patent and went on producing bulbs that burn out. Otherwise, their business is finished. Nikola Tesla years ago made a system for producing electricity that you don't have to burn any fuel. Those who were funding his research, they pulled the plug and it never got released. There are all kinds of things going on. Years ago, I read in a paper in India that a man who had made a system of generating electricity from waste, he died somehow. Don't know how he died, but he did. So he was killed, obviously, because it would undermine he'd made a system whereby you wouldn't have to use oil or coal or any such thing. And the scientists all said, oh, it's all rubbish. Not just what he planned to have as the fuel, but he's all, no, it's all, it can't work. Because they're also in the pay. The professors in the university, they're not independent brahmanas. They're all paid to toe the party line. They must say what they're told to say. Well, otherwise they lose their job, they lose their tenure. So the fact is, the truth is, that we are very much influenced, the whole society, and we also, unless we listen very carefully to Srila Prabhupada and study Srimad Bhagavatam and accept it, we just sang in the song, Koromore Atmasat, to make ourselves one with the Guru. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chetete Koriya Aikya, Ana Kori Homane Asha. Unless we accept what the self-realized souls, what the Shastra says, completely as truth, not desiring anything else, then we become influenced by these demons who they deliberately want to mislead us so that they can exploit us. This is the situation. These things are going on, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. So if we want to put the truth is that all these governments are run by demons, that's all. You say that, no, America's standing up against Russia. You know, Russia is very bad. You're also very bad. And they're all bad. Who's good? They're all cow killers, and all the governments, they're in cahoots with the big money people. We're all being cheated by these governments. They have, what do they promote? What are the big businesses in the world? Drug business, illegal business, no taxes. Many years ago, it was announced, this was during the Reagan administration, that from space, NASA or whatever, they have satellites that can read the writing. If a coin falls on the street in Moscow, you can read it from space. But they can't stop billions of dollars of drugs coming into the country. What's going on? It's big, big money. Drug business, arms business, huge business. You hear about some drone goes and kills someone in wherever, Yemen or Iraq or Pakistan or whatever. Completely, even by international law, it's completely illegal just to go in someone else's country and send a drone and blow them up. How much does one drone cost? Any idea? The apparatus itself, probably it must be at least $1 million for one of them. What to speak of the whole infrastructure behind it? Big business. War's the best business. So, defense, they call it defense. I don't know what they call it here. In Britain, they have the Ministry of Defense. It's like George Orwell's 1984. The Ministry of Love, which their business is to make perpetual war. What's the other one? It's the Ministry of Truth. That's for telling lies. And the Ministry of? Any idea? There are three ministries. Everything was boiled down to three. Ministry of Love, the Ministry of Truth, maybe the Ministry of Justice or something, which was for torturing the citizens. Yeah. Was it? Yeah. So, very perceptive, George Orwell. And a lot of good insight. You're also an Orwell fan. The Ministry of Truth is modeled after the BBC. George Orwell worked in the BBC, and it's renowned all over the world. As you can get the real news from the BBC. So don't trust these people. A massive business, meat business, refrigerated meat sent from here to there. In Britain, in my childhood, the most common food was New Zealand lamb. That means sending meat all the way from New Zealand, refrigeration. So you can, in England, you can eat, even the common man can afford New Zealand lamb and Danish bacon. So big, big business. Who's going to stop this business? The politicians, it's very doubtful. They may talk about stopping cow slaughter and this and that, but they're not going to stop it because it's a huge business. Money rules. Liquor business, tobacco business, gambling business. Governments throughout the world run gambling businesses, isn't it? Lotteries. Prostitution business, directly and indirectly. Why is pornography allowed? Why should any government allow such a horrible thing? Business? Money? This is the situation in the world. It's a very, very... what to speak of? Chemical businesses polluting. What do they care? The whole Yamuna, the dead river. It's called by the world something, UNESCO agency, wildlife fund or something. Dead river. What is the water? And you like to go for a bath in the Yamuna? It's not the Yamuna. It's the Yamuna already died way, way up. If you go up in Himachal or somewhere, you might get some real Yamuna water. Himachal. But what you get in Vrindavan is industrial waste and sewage from Delhi and from Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada said that the demoniac government is deliberately making factories on the bank of the Yamuna to pollute the river so people won't want to bathe there. So demoniac. And then they come and the politicians, yes, we're for the common man. Don't believe them. It's amazing that anyone can believe them. What should we do? Religion. Well, what is religion? There's no truth in religion either. People aren't interested in truth. It's mostly sectarianism. There's very great danger in our movement that we simply accept to be a religion. That's why I say we should have Shravan Kirtan camps. Kirtan Mela, okay, but don't cut out the Shravan. Don't leave out the philosophy. Don't leave out the understanding. Otherwise, anyone can come along and sing, and as long as they sing nicely, oh, such a beautiful voice. Does he follow four regulative principles? Does he chant 16 rounds? Don't know, don't care. He sings nicely. We like it. Or she sings nicely. We like the sound. Is he Mayavadi, Sahaja? It sounds, oh, beautiful, very nice. So it all becomes for our pleasure. And kirtan, oh, such a nice kirtan, sung so nicely. But we should be at least as enthusiastic for hearing. If we're very serious to serve Krishna, we should be as enthusiastic for hearing as for chanting. Otherwise, the chanting becomes sahajya style. Sahajya means for our own we like Krishna consciousness for our own pleasure. If I'm happy, if I like it, then that's bhakti. If I feel, the measure of bhakti is if I feel I like it. But it's for Krishna's pleasure. No one has any idea. All these religions, practically everyone, in the name of religion, it's not thy will be done, not mine, as Jesus famously said. But my will be, your God, so I'm praying to you, and you make arrangements for me to be happy. All religion. Srila Prabhupada opens his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, in his preface, I believe it is, that the concept of God and that of the Absolute Truth are not on the same level. The Srimad Bhagavatam hits on the target of the Absolute Truth. In other words, people think of God, they have some sentimental idea, and others may think, what is truth, philosophically? They're not the same. It's two different pursuits. So Srila Prabhupada says that this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not about God per se. It's about the truth, and the truth is God. We should be interested in what is the truth. In the beginning of Vedanta Sutras, it's not stated Atato Bhagavan Jignasa or Krishna Jignasa, Atato Brahma Jignasa. We should understand what is the truth. And what is that truth? As Srila Prabhupada, what that truth is will be explained in the next verse. Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport to the, which verse is that? The Janyatyashuvairagyam, Vasudeva Bhagavad. Is it that? Anyway, he's, and what is that truth? Vedanti tat tat vidas tat dam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shambhyate. The truth is understood in three phases as impersonal, Brahman, localized paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. The 10th canto describes Krishna's pastime. Before that, there are 9 cantos delineating the science of God. This is it's a different category to that of religion for the sake of sense gratification or religion for the sake of liberation. But practically, there's religion for the sake of liberation is on a categorically higher status than that of religion for sense gratification. But nowadays, there's no religion for liberation. Hardly. Hardly anyone's interested. But even above that is religion for pure love of Godhead. So, what goes on in the name of religion? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, paraphrasing part of the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, stated that Jato kichu dharma name prithivite jato kichu dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. Whatever goes on in the world in the name of the religion, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's completely cheating. Harsh truth. Who will like to say? All religious truth is there in the chanting of the holy names. That's Shadha Shadana Tatta Jaikit Chu Shakal Harinama Shankirtane Milibe Shakal. This is the verdict of Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the goal of life and how to attain it, everything is complete in Harinama Sankirtan. How is that complete? We can go and say that. Someone will come and say, Harinama Sankirtan. Someone will come and say, Allah. Someone else will come and say, Sai Baba. Someone else will come and say, Jesus is the only way. We have to justify this. We have to know this. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. The science of knowledge of God is given in Bhagavatam. There's really the knowledge in Srila Prabhupada's books, there's nothing which comes anywhere close to it. It's in completely different category to anything else in the world, in English at least. And even that which is in Indian languages is mostly written in obscure language, which makes it difficult to understand. Srila Prabhupada's books are unique. Even if we take the Indian language, Hindi, Bengali, and so on, the religious books, mostly common people can't understand. If you see some book written in Tamil, or common people, which has bona fide philosophy, just like... we're not saying that Srila Prabhupada's books are the only bona fide religious books in the world. There are other sampradayas. There's our own sampradaya. There are many books, especially in the vernacular Indian languages, and of course in Sanskrit. But the language and the concepts are presented in such a way that only specialists can understand them. But Srila Prabhupada's books are presented in a way that the common man can appreciate, scholars can appreciate. It's accessible. That's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He's made the truth available to everyone in the form of his books and the holy name. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. So please remember, if you have questions, to write them down and give them to Krishna Kirti Prabhu, who is standing there on what to my side is the left. To all of you is the right. There's an example of a relative truth. If I say that Krishna Kirti Prabhu is standing on the left, it's true. If I say that he's standing on the right, it's also true. There you go. Relativism explained. Yeah. Well, from Krishna's standpoint, you're standing to his left and his right, because he's Sarvatokshi Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiromokam. He's everywhere. But still, we worship Krishna. in the deity form. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.